1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now then, somebody just tell you, have you ever heard somebody say, you know, if I could just see God, I'd know He's real. Did He come to this earth? Did somebody see Him? Lots of them, didn't they, Tom? Did they tell us about it? Do we believe it? No. Most of us don't. Some of us do. You and me do. And I think most of us in this room do. But you know, this is what so many people would say. Well, if God is really real, why don't He just come down here and show us who He is? Well, let me tell you, He did that. He came right here to this earth 2,000 years ago, and He walked on this earth not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, but for 33 years. He walked on this earth, and the last 3 years was an intensive ministry that nobody has ever equaled in history. I mean, healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead. You know, after He raised the little girl from the dead, and then after He raised the widow's little son from the dead, well, I mean, the Pharisees said, you know, that they had only been dead a day. You know, so if He were to raise somebody from the dead that had been dead more than 3 days, after 3 days, the spirit leaves the body, and then if somebody raises them from the dead, we know they're God. And so Jesus went away, and when Lazarus got sick, of course, and he died, and they said, you know, Lazarus has got a problem, we need to go back. He said, no, we're not going back. You know, he's okay. He's okay. And so finally, the fourth day, they come back, and when they got there, he said, Mary and Martha said, oh, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. He said, if you'll only believe, you shall see the glory of God. Just think what we could do if we could only believe. He made that little statement, only believe. And almost nobody believes these statements. Only believe. Only believe. You know, we read this book and we don't believe what it says. So Jesus goes out there and He said, roll the stone away. But Lord, He's been dead 4 days. He stinks by this time. You know, it don't take 4 days for a body to start smelling. You know, it only takes a day. Actually, not even a day. If you don't do something to a physical body, when it dies, it starts smelling bad within less than 24 hours. But they knew that rigor mortis had set in and his body had deteriorated, and although he had been mummified, this myrrh and aloe, he had about 75 to 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe put on him. And if any of you ever seen a mummy that comes out of Egypt where they did this with the myrrh and aloe and they strip them, and so the cocoon stays for thousands of years. It really seals it up. I've seen cocoons with people in them that were 5,000 years old when I was in Egypt. I've seen those in the museum in Cairo. So I think the Egyptians probably learned this from the Jews when they were there in bondage, because they had been doing this. Well, Lazarus' body had already been completely wrapped up, and so since he's completely wrapped up in a cocoon, when Jesus told him to come forth, do you think he walked out? No, he didn't walk out at all. You know, I used to think, well, he walked out. But, you know, went back and read the scriptures years ago when I first began to learn this, and it said after Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, it said, and Lazarus stood in the doorway. Now, how do you think he got there? An angel. An angel goes there and picks him up and carries him over to the front door and sets him down. He is a mummy. What did Jesus say? Loose him and let him go. So they started whittling away and cutting into this stuff. I can only imagine when they finally tore through the face, when they got through, and Lazarus says, thanks, guys, I needed that breath of fresh air. Because how long had he been dead? 4 days. Now then, the Pharisees and Sadducees are in a place between rock and a hard place. Now that we said that if he raises somebody from the dead that's been dead over 3 days, he has to be God. And it says, and some of them believed. Some of them believed that he was God. But it says others went away to figure a way to kill him and Lazarus. Now, isn't that amazing? So is seeing miracles the answer? No. What is the answer? How does that faith come? Reading the Word. And how, let me ask you a question. Let's go to John 6:44. I want to move back from here where I am, and then we'll come back here to 1 John. I want to go to John 6:44. I don't want to read something there to you, and I want you to meditate on this a minute and think about what this is saying. 1 John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. If no man can come to the Father except he draw him, then why did he draw Bill and Betty and he didn't draw somebody else that you know? That's the answer right back there. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody got on their face before God, which probably was mother or daddy, but it could have been anybody, who knows. Somebody got on their face and began to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to move by the power of your Holy Spirit and convict my son, Bill, of sin. Bring him into the kingdom. Now, they might not have said all those fancy words, but they prayed it somehow. They got through to God. Because why does God only select a few people if no man, no woman can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him? And when I first read that, I thought, okay, God, I don't understand why you draw this one and you don't draw this one. Until one day I was out there and I was talking to a man and I'm talking to him about Jesus and his little 10-year-old son come by and he's sitting there listening and he said, you know, Thurman, he said, I was just a Sunday school teacher in a Baptist church at the time. He said, you know, I think I would like to make Jesus Lord of my life. And his daddy said, oh, son, get out of here. You don't know what you're talking about. You ain't old enough to know what's going on. This boy 10 years old. Sure, he's old enough. I said, have you prayed for these kids yet? He said, no. He said, I'll just let them go their own way and they'll make their own decision when they get old enough. Now, see what he don't know. The father don't just look at that little boy and say, okay, I'm going to draw Bill. I'm going to draw this young man into my kingdom. But this girl, Betty, sitting beside him, I'm not going to draw her. He don't make those kind of decisions, does he?
No.
He only drew you and you because somebody prayed for you. Yeah, your grandmother prayed for you and your mother prayed for you. They were on their face before a righteous and holy king, and because we prayed, God moves and draws somebody. You know, you stop and think about this. When's the last time you saw a drug cartel man get saved? Why? Nobody's praying for him. I mean, they was raised up in hell to start with. They probably didn't have a mother or a father or whatever. You know, they were just raised up in a devilish world, and nobody ever prayed for those guys, and they literally are out killing people. In fact, I heard a report this last week. I was listening to some stuff on the Internet, and they said that since, I think, 2006 till today, in Mexico, there have been over 30,000 deaths because of drug cartels. 30,000 people have died. I mean, just think what you could do if somebody was praying for all these people and these men are out there with these guns killing all these people could all get saved. Well, think what would happen if you were to get, I guess I should say, off of our backside. And every time we go somewhere, we talk about Jesus where we are and we pray for people. You know, if we would only pray. Now then, this is what really confirms whether you're walking in obedience to God's word or not. If you have love one for another, when you go somewhere, you'll tell people that you come in contact with about Jesus, right?
Amen.
Now, if you don't really love them, if you don't really love you, you might be around people, and you might have a son or a daughter or whatever, and you know they're out doing their thing in the world, and all you're doing is talking bad about them. Well, that boy, he'll get what he deserves one day. You know, I mean, I know people talk about their own children like that, don't you, Ferris? Instead of saying, I'm not going to let my son die and go to hell. I'm going to be on my face before my daddy. I'm going to ask my Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus to put the pressure on that boy and bring him into the kingdom of God. And I want my Heavenly Father to know I ain't taking no for an answer. And when you got that kind of faith, God will move on that boy's heart and save him, right? Sure he will. Because you love. How many of you want to see anybody? In fact, I heard somebody make a statement the other day. He said, you know, I hope they go to hell. And this was about a family member of theirs. Now then, if you make a statement, I hope they go to hell, you can say for sure one thing, are they saved or lost? They're lost. They're lost. Guarantee they're lost. I'm going to show you. We're going to go back to 1 John 1. Let's go back over there. It says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it. We bear witness and we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. In other words, what if Jesus was to appear right here with five or six of his big, beautiful angels, and we all saw them, and we all jumping up and down and praising God, and Jesus is walking through with his golden girdle on and all that stuff, if we could stand, and we'd probably all be on our face on the floor. But if we were to see the King, and we left this church and went out telling everybody that we saw Jesus today, you know what most people, even Christians, you know what they'd say to you? you're going to be okay, honey. we'll pray for you that you'll be okay. Is that right, Scott? They wouldn't believe you, would they? You say, but you don't understand. I saw the King. And yeah, sure you did. Yeah, we know. You know, you saw the key. Yeah. Just like somebody gets a miracle, they get healed or whatever. I mean, I remember one time that my neighbor, he has been several years, 20, 30 years ago at least. I was up there building fence, and my neighbor, he come over. And he said, Thurman, he said, what good things is going on? I said, there's everything good. It's just wonderful. He said, wow. He said, you sure are excited. I said, well, praise God. I said, Jesus is doing some wonderful things. Now, this member goes to a church in this area.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Walk in Love as Jesus Walked, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.